turn with me in the hymnal to number 1029. And also in a moment, we'll be going to number 217, because I'd like to read these scripture passages, which we also often do in a Christmas service. And often we've done it this way. So I'd like to, could I ask you to stand again, please? This is like for basically, as often is said, the reading of the word. And women and girls, could we have you sing or read for us number 1029, this passage from Luke 1, 34 to 35, and to verse 38. And then we'll turn to another short passage before I share this meditation with you. Gals, how will this be? Number 217. I've already sung it this morning, and now I'd like to read it in words. If the men will help me with this, we'll read from Isaiah and from Acts and from Revelation. In unison, men, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You may be seated. A story for you. I've shared it before, and I have my favorite Christmas stories and readings, but it's been a while, I believe, since I shared this one. At Christmas time, men and women everywhere gather in their churches to wonder anew at the greatest miracle the world has ever known. But the story I like best to recall was not a miracle, not exactly. And I'm going to interject this here and say that, I think about sometimes it's, isn't that a coincidence? There aren't any coincidences with the Lord. And even though this wasn't a miracle, it was a miracle, okay? But listen, see what you make of it. It happened to a pastor who was very young. His church was very old. Once long ago, it had flourished. Famous men had preached from the pulpit of this church, which is very old. They'd prayed before its altar. Rich and poor alike worshiped there and built it beautifully. Now, the good days had passed. They passed from the section of town where it stood, but the pastor and his young wife believed in their rundown church. They felt that with paint and hammer and faith, they could get it in shape, and together they went to work. But in late December, and here comes, in a sense, it's just like reading through the story of Esther, a number of divine plans or events rose up into the picture, into the story, and here is where it's starting here, for one thing. This is coincidence, or it's something of God's overseeing and over-guarding hand, so to speak, entering the picture. In late December, a severe storm whipped through the river valley, and the worst blow fell on the little church. A huge chunk of rain-soaked plaster fell out of the inside wall just behind the altar. if it were happening here, it'd be sort of like it's happening there with that above the table there. And sorrowfully, the pastor and his wife swept away the mess, but they couldn't hide the ragged hole. The pastor looked at it and had to remind himself quickly, "Thy will be done." But his wife wept. She said, "Christmas is only 2 days away." Another coincidence, that afternoon, the dispirited couple attended the auction held for the benefit of a youth group. The auctioneer opened a box and took out a piece of linen and shook out the folds of a handsome gold and ivory lace tablecloth. It was a magnificent item, nearly 15 feet long. But it too dated from a long vanished era. Who today had any use for such a thing? There were a few half-hearted bids, and then the pastor was seized with the thought that, with what he thought was a great idea, he bid it in for $6.50. He carried the cloth back to the church and tacked it up to the wall behind the altar, and it completely hid the hole. And the extraordinary beauty of its shimmering handwork cast a fine holiday glow over the altar. It was a great triumph, and happily he went back to preparing his Christmas sermon. Probably little realizing that his Christmas sermon was now hung there. But just before noon, on the day of Christmas Eve, as the pastor was opening the church, he noticed a woman standing in the cold at the bus stop. Coincidence. Okay, the bus won't be here for 40 minutes, he called, and he invited her into the church to get warm. She told him she'd come from the city that morning to be interviewed for a job as governess to the children of one of the wealthy families in town, but she had been turned down. A war refugee, her English was imperfect. The woman sat down in a pew and chafed her hands and rested. After a while, she dropped her head and prayed. She looked up as the pastor began to adjust the great ivory and gold lace cloth across that hole where the plaster had fallen off the wall. She rose suddenly and walked up the steps to the altar. She looked at the tablecloth. The pastor smiled and started to tell her about the storm damage, but she didn't seem to listen. She took a fold of the cloth and rubbed it between her fingers. "It is mine," she said. "It is mine. It is my banquet cloth." She lifted the corner and showed the surprised pastor that there were initials monogrammed on it. "My husband had the cloth made especially for me in Brussels. There could not be another like it." For the next few minutes, the woman and the pastor talked excitedly together. She explained that she was Viennese, and that she and her husband had opposed the Nazis and had decided to leave the country. They were advised to go separately. Her husband put her on a train for Switzerland, and they planned that he would join her as soon as he could arrange to ship their household goods across the border. She never saw him again. Later, she heard that he had died in a concentration camp. "I have always felt that it was my fault to leave without him," she said. "Perhaps these years of wandering have been my punishment." The pastor tried to comfort her and urged her to take the cloth with her. What a coincidence. She didn't. She didn't take the cloth with her, although it was hers. She refused. Then she went away. The church began to fill on Christmas Eve, and it was clear that the cloth was going to be a great success. It had been skillfully designed to look its best by candlelight. After the service, the pastor stood in the doorway. Many people told him that the church looked beautiful. And one gentle-faced, I know you know where this is going, middle-aged man, he was a local clock and watch repairman, looked rather puzzled. "It's strange," he said in a soft voice, a soft accent. "Many years ago, my wife, God rest her, She and I own such a cloth in our home in Vienna. My wife put it on the table. And here he smiled and said, only when the bishop came. The pastor suddenly became very excited. And he told the jeweler, the watch repairman, about the clock repairman, about the woman who had been in the church earlier in the day. The startled jeweler clutched the pastor's arm. She says, can it be? He said, can it be? Does she live? Together, the two got in touch with the family who had interviewed her. And then in the pastor's car, the family she had interviewed with for the governess job. And in the pastor's car, they started out for the city. And as Christmas Day was born, a man and his wife, who had been separated through so many saddened Yuletides, were reunited. To all who heard this story, the joyful purpose of the storm that knocked a hole in the wall of the church was now quite clear. Of course, people said it was a miracle, and I think you'll agree that it was the season for it. We can go over that story and think about the number of, I'm just going to say, ducks that got in a row. The sovereign God directing all the way. But the point is, as lovely as the story is, I think that we should be challenged and encouraged to think about those sorts of things in our lives. And again, I can say, I'm certain that not a person in this room could deny that you've had those tragic spots, whatever level or degree of that in your life. And I say spots in plural, knowing that there's been plenty more than just one. And the longer you live, the more the number increases, not decreases, I guess. About things that's so questionable, God, if you're in charge, how could you let this be? I've been doing plenty of study and such again lately, which I guess I try to always do, but just coming across it all the time when someone's saying there's just nothing in one form or another, whether they're pointing out in a Bible story, in a Bible commentary, Bible lesson, but also in real life situations like you and I have on our journeys through this world, wherever we're at in that journey. And understand that, things come and we face crises constantly, continuously. And yet understand along with that, that the solid biblical teaching is that a sovereign God has charge of these matters. And if he allows something, even when we don't understand it, even we can't figure out about it, maybe we whine and bellyache and moan about it, I do, maybe we rebel against it, certainly question it, sometimes it costs us a pretty serious fall or a blunder or something in our faith. But it's shown over and over again, the longer I live and the more I read and study and the more I hear from others, it's like shown over and over again. It's often said this way, and this can be said a thousand ways, but God does not cause any of his children a needless tear. This story is a wonderful example of that. A volume ought to be written, which would probably stack and be as thick as from here to the ceiling, and beyond that, to share like experiences. And you know, today, we're going to sing a couple songs, family, now. But before we do, today is one time I'd just like to give an opportunity. If someone has something you want to share along this line, but some doubt, to put it mildly, or question, or crisis, or something that you have come through already, it always pans out, so to speak, in God's time, not ours. can look back on plenty of experiences when we say, so that's why the Lord allowed that. Anyone? And you're wondering how they come. We'll have a little talk. No, I'm.
And I can say the same thing. I mean, I've known Joe for ever since Sonny and Jermaine got married. He would have bought 16 years ago. Best movie ever made.
Share what's come of your daughter's loss.
He was married last night.
Oh.
Now they're very nice children. They seem to be rich and the same, and children are very happy in Jesus.
I joke about him a lot, but it's the honest thing. It's true. That one morning, grinding on my old car that didn't always run very well and trying to start it. And the sun was shining, but it was still pretty early, and this man walked down the driveway and said, "Can I help you?" And I looked up and I didn't have any idea who he was. But I tried to start my old car and it wouldn't go, and he said, he knew I had to go to work at the hospital. I had met all his family, but I'd never met him. And he said, "I'll get you
there's the point, too, you know.
Well, we're facing one of those lies.
Yeah.
Right now. But I really believe that the Lord has great things in store. And I'm not going to sit around and cry. I'm going to be excited for America and for their family and for the wonderful adventure they're going to have.
You probably already, all of you, guessed that that's the biggest question in our life right now, and yet share it exactly as she did. By the way, Bill, that's what you get for being so big-hearted. See, and I know it's a blessing. That's what I meant. That's exactly what I meant. Well, family, if you'll come up, gals. "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the earth, all the angels were cheering the coming birth. The birth that meant freedom and grace from the fall, immeasurable love for one and all. But God didn't stop with the birth of the King. His plan was far greater than any had seen. A plan that confounds us still today, a plan that says Jesus is the only way. Death by crucifixion, it appeared Satan had won, but God's plan was not over. There was still much to be done. 3 days had passed while Satan cheered, but silence befell him as Jesus appeared. The tomb is now empty, the battle is won. For you to be victorious, just believe in the Son. So believe in the true meaning of Christmas today, that Christ has risen to take your sins away. For if you believe he's risen, abundant life you will see, full of blessings and hope that will forever be." Don't have an author on a lot of things, but I have one here by the name of Teda Vaughn, Tata Vaughn. And we need music.
Where is it? Oh, I have it.
Oh, brother.
I think I do. But you were going to have. Have another.
I guess I didn't have.
Can everybody see off this?
It looks like we're not organized. We have spent hours and hours trying to get everything laid out right. And it's just sorry. I'm sorry that.
Your best is always good enough for us.
Oh, dear.
Because in planning the Christmas Eve service and
tonight,
Barnes
and
Corners
today
and
all
our morning
December.
Services, we try to spread these Christmas things out to where we're. There's a lot of overlap and repeat in different of the services, but still. Can't hardly get everything in. We're singing the other one first. Aren't we? You want just A?
Yeah. When I was but a youngster, Christmas meant one thing, that I'd be getting lots of toys that day. Probably sick of hearing this one, but it's one of my favorite, all-time favorite songs.
We say that every time we sing it. It's our Christmas themes, family themes.
I just love it. I think the words are wonderful.
The wonder of wonders, oh how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty. Wonder of wonders, he died for my sin.
Now, Arthur, we've missed your prayers. Would you grace us with a prayer in closing this service? Bill? I don't know what you're facing in here, people, any one of you, every one of you, myself included. But be sure that God has his hand upon that and has something in store for you, for your best. He promises that to those who love him, to those who care, to those who follow, to those who are committed. Someone else before we pray, would you stand, please? Anyone can have a last word here?